here on a Sunday morning, and I am glad to be back in your company, although I'm sure the feeling is not necessarily mutual on the side of all parties involved. Now you have to have me inflicted on you, and I'm kind of sorry about that. I'm going to keep this brief. I feel like today is a really easy day for a topic. I can't remember the last time that I got a holiday, and you can actually spin Memorial Day into a pretty decent lesson. So let's talk about memorials today. Let's talk about some Old Testament examples of memorials, a couple of New Testament examples, really just the one, and then how we can utilize our lives as a memorial. What is a memorial? A memorial, generally speaking, is an object, a structure, or an event used to remember someone or something, oftentimes a person's death, or the death of multiple people. We see this frequently with war memorials, with the Washington Monument. That's a memorial to the life of George Washington. We see it with the Vietnam memorials. We see it with Memorial Day, specifically in reference to the lives of servicemen and women that were offered on behalf of the country. We see it all over the place. So let's look at a couple of Old Testament examples of memorials. We have object memorials and we have event memorials. We'll start off, almost as early as the beginning of the Old Testament. If you go to Genesis chapter 9, the flood has just occurred, and Noah and his family are getting off of the ark, and God makes a promise to Noah and to his family. And if you look in verse 12 of chapter 9, and God says, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you," a covenant being a promise, "and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, forever. I set my rainbow," that's the object, "in this cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." So here's our first monument. It is the sign between God and us for his promise that never again will he destroy the earth by water. And we see it frequently. And as Christians, to us, obviously it has that special significance, a way that God's reminding us that he made a promise to us. If we scoot a little bit farther forward, the next object memorial is actually going to be found in Joshua. This is where Joshua and the Israelites, well, I guess they were still technically Hebrews here, Hebrews, Israelites, they were getting ready to come over into the Promised Land. And as the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant walk across the Jordan River, they dip their toes in, and the water stops. And it backs up, and the water runs dry. And the priests that are carrying the Ark, as well as all of the Hebrew people, walk across on dry land. This is in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. So Joshua says, "I need you all to grab a stone. We need one stone for each tribe, so 12 stones. And we're going to put these and make a monument so that we will remember for future generations." They'll see this and they say, "What's that?" And you'll tell them, "This is where God let his people cross over on dry land into the Promised Land." We often have event memorials, however, very much like Memorial Day. There's not necessarily an object associated with it, but it is a process or a holiday or something that serves as a memorial. The first one that we see is going to be the Passover feast. So this is in Exodus. We're in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. We're establishing that this is where the Hebrew people are in captivity, and there's been 9 plagues brought on the Egyptian people thus far. And Moses and Aaron, they say to the Pharaoh, "You really need to let us go or something bad's going to happen." And Pharaoh doesn't believe them. Of course he doesn't. So the Hebrew people are told, you're going to kill a young lamb, and you're going to take a hyssop branch, and you're going to dip it in his blood, and you're going to mark your doorpost, so that when the angel of death passes over, you will be saved. The Passover feast stems from this, and it is how they remember their exodus and the safety granted to them during that exodus from Egypt. We also look at the Sabbath. The Sabbath was very simply God's day of rest, his seventh day after the creation of the world and everything in it. But with the Ten Commandments, it becomes a memorial. If you look in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, this is where the Ten Commandments are being, I guess, read off. And we hear that it says the following: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And this day we remember the creation of the world, or at least the Hebrew people did, right up until the beginning of the New Covenant. And it was to remember everything that God had done to make the earth and to memorialize all the things that he had given us. We understand that nothing really on this planet is ours. It's all on loan from God. He made it. He lets us have it. And when we die, we don't take any of it with us. It's all just his. So we remember what he's done. Now, in the New Testament, it's interesting in that we have an event memorial and an object memorial slammed together with this here, with the Lord's Supper. It is both the symbols with the fruit of the vine and with the bread, which represents the body and the blood that Christ sacrificed for us. But it's also an event memorial in that we have a specific time or on a specific day set aside every single week that we take a few minutes and maybe we think to ourselves about the sacrifice. Maybe we recommit to living in a way that is deserving of the sacrifice. And we remember. And that's the key focus of a memorial. Whatever it is, it's something that helps you remember. So how do we use our lives as memorials? It's not necessarily an easy thing, but it's a worthwhile endeavor. I would say the first way that we start using our lives as a memorial is to study. Because if the key part of a memorial is to remember, what better way to remember the things that have been done for us by God than to read the Word? We follow it up with prayer. This is probably going to sound an awful lot like a Christian life, which, interestingly enough, that's what your Christian life is. It's a memorial. Through our prayer, we are able to talk with God. We're able to draw comfort from him. We're able to bring our cares and our concerns and our thanks and anything that's on our heart to him. Then we need to worship. This entire assembly, every day that we come together, is another memorial for us to offer praise to God, to remember what has been done on our behalf. The grace that we don't deserve, the forgiveness that we didn't earn, the blessings that shouldn't be ours, but they are. This is where we give thanks and we remember what is done for us. The best way, however, to utilize your life as a memorial is to bring others to Christ. Living that Christian life is what makes people wonder, maybe in a work situation where everyone else is losing their head and is saying things that they shouldn't and doing things that they shouldn't, you might be the rock. And maybe they come up to you and they say, how come when insert here happened last week, you didn't absolutely freak out? Well, there's That's not how I choose to live my life. Oh, well, why not? Well, because God did this for me. And it's an opening. Or, you know, maybe you do something kind for someone just because you know it's the right thing to do, never expecting any return payment, never expecting any good jobs, any kind of acknowledgement, just because it's the right thing to do. Surprising how often that doesn't happen anymore. There's a multitude of ways to live your life in a way that serves as that memorial to God. And we all know how to make it happen. It's important that we remember where we came from, how this journey to the Christian life started with everything that went on in the Old Testament, letting the Hebrews come through Egypt safely, making sure that God didn't kill all of us with the flood, letting the Hebrew people come over to the promised land where God fulfilled another one of his covenants to them, remembering all of the things that led up to Jesus being here. And then each Sunday we gather together and we have our memorial to him and to his life and to his sacrifice, where we encourage each other to live our lives the way that we should, to take it out into the world, to bring more people to Christ so that they can live their lives as a memorial for him too. I know this is brief, but I don't feel like it needs an awful lot of explanation. It's something that we all know, but maybe we need a reminder of once in a while. And now we offer a brief invitation. If you have already accepted Christ as your Savior and you've given your life over to him and you've gone through your baptism and you've been living a Christian walk, but maybe you've kind of fallen down here recently, now's a great time to get back on the bus and to start living that life as a memorial again. If you've never done those things, now's an excellent time to start. I've heard it said before that the greatest lie that Satan ever got us to buy into is that there's no rush to become a Christian. You're never guaranteed tomorrow. You're never guaranteed your next breath. You know, it's a fleeting life. It's a vapor. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. And there's never an excuse to miss an opportunity to give your life over to Christ's service. So if you have a need, if you are struggling and you want prayers, if you're not a Christian and you want to be, if maybe you've just been walking that Christian walk and it's gotten kind of hard recently and you need support from your family, now is the time to get all of that and more if you come while we stand and sing.